Welcome back to AL Geography Corner. Today, we'll be taking a look at Bolivia, officially the plurinational state of Bolivia, an especially multi-ethnic country that's also one of only two landlocked nations in the Americas, and the largest one in the Southern Hemisphere. So without further ado, let's get started with a look at the etymology of Bolivia. Bolivia derives its name from the name of Simón Bolívar, a well-known military leader who fought for multiple future countries during the Spanish-American Wars of Independence. Simón Bolívar is the shortening of his official title, which is, in full, Simón José Antonio de la Santísima Trinidad Bolívar y Palacios Ponte Andrade y Blanco, and I know I probably butchered like half of that, apologies for my terrible Spanish. With his immense political power, Bolívar essentially had power over even the new heads of state themselves, and as such he was allowed to decide the fate of what would become Bolivia. This decision he passed on to the new leader of Venezuela, Antonio José de Sucre, who decided to make an independent state and named it in his honor. However, you may realize that Bolivar's name wasn't Bolivia, and yes, Bolivia was originally known as the Republic of Bolivar. It was a Bolivian congressman named Manuel Martin Cruz who first suggested the idea of changing the country's name to Bolivia. His reasoning was that, if from Romulus's name came the city of Rome, then from Bolivar's name should come the country of Bolivia. This name finally became official in October of 1825, and with that said, let's now take a look at the flags and coat of arms. No, that wasn't a mistake. Bolivia officially has two national flags. The more well-known flag, which has an extremely odd proportion of 15 to 22, is another in which the national coat of arms is used as the centerpiece, and is a horizontal tri-band of, from top to bottom, red, yellow, and green. The red represents the blood shed by those who fought for the country's inception, the yellow represents Bolivians' natural resources and wealth, and the green represents both hope and the natural beauty of Bolivia. In the center of the yellow band lies the national emblem, which we'll get to in a moment. But first, Bolivia's other national flag is the Huafala, having the official status of dual flag, and is an interesting, exactly one-to-one square-shaped flag used primarily for Andean native representation. The flag is a 7x7 grid of squares, with the color shifting from the diagonal line of white that runs from the top left to the bottom right of the flag. The color order is reversed on either side, so for simplicity's sake, I'll list the colors from the bottom left square up to the white. These colors are yellow, orange, red, purple, blue, and green. After the middle white band, the yellow is the biggest line and the pattern repeats as the flag narrows. So let's take a closer look at the emblem in the middle of the flag. The coat of arms of Bolivia is centered around a blue ringed oval shape. Flanking the oval on either side are a row of three Bolivian tricolor flags sans the emblem. Above the oval is an Andean condor, and behind the condor are two branches, one of laurel and one of olive, together forming a sort of wreath. Two golden cannons and four rifles with bayonets affixed cross together behind the oval. Additionally, an axe sticks out of the top on the right, and a red liberty cap rests on the top left. Within the blue lining of the oval is the word Bolivia written in gold lettering at the top, and 10 gold stars at the bottom. Within the oval itself stands a llama, next to a palm tree and a sheaf of wheat on a green hill. In the background are two mountains, the Cerro Rico of Potosi and the Cerro Minor. Behind the larger one is a rising sun, and atop the smaller one is the Chapel of the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ. And now with the emblem done, let's take a look at some Bolivian history. The first recorded humans living in Bolivia were those of the advanced pre-Columbian South American civilizations. The first great empire in the region was the Tiahuanaco Empire, forming around the 7th century CE. After its collapse around the 14th century, the region was split into multiple groups of primarily Aymara-speaking peoples, who were then in turn subjugated by the Incas, who essentially attempted to neo-colonize their land with their own Quechua-speaking peoples. This is why Aymara and Quechua are still so widely spoken by natives in Bolivia today. The Incas were in turn conquered by the Spanish in the 16th century, primarily for the purpose of extracting the rich silver deposits in the Andes. This mining activity continued close to three centuries, primarily fueled by native slave labor. By the late 18th century, however, the largest silver veins had all been mined out, so the Spanish focus in the region shifted to be more political, and Sucre, then known as Chusuica, took Potosi's former focus by the Spanish and became the backbone of the regional government. This is also around the time that many major native revolts started taking place, all of which ultimately resulted in their respective leaders' executions. In 1809, the two largest cities, Chuquisaca and La Paz, became the first large cities to revolt against colonial Spanish rule, and thus kicked off the Latin American Independence Wars. Though these early uprisings may have failed, they sparked a fire that would liberate all of Latin America from the vice grip of Spain. This is where the famous Bolivar fought and allowed the country to become independent. Unfortunately, the newly formed nation faced some immediate issues, primarily due to the depletion of its mines by Spanish overmining of silver, leaving the fledgling nation without a stable form of income. This situation was made even worse following a coup in the 1830s, leading to a 4-year union with Peru and then facing the brunt of an invasion by Chile to destroy the union. Chile would go on to take all of Bolivia's coastal access in the late 1800s during the War of the Pacific. However, this actually had the effect of stimulating the Bolivian economy, helped along by the rise in silver prices at the time. However, this would not last, and the mining industry soon shifted its focus towards tin. This coincided with a shift towards more ethnic diversity, as in the past, almost all of the nation's elite had been native Bolivians. Tin would continue to be a worthwhile investment up until the Great Depression hit, when the industry stopped receiving vital major investments and slowly began to dry up. Around this time, Bolivia also started fueling a border dispute with neighboring Paraguay, or the Chaco Boreal region, which would soon develop into a full-scale war in 1932. Despite being better prepared and having higher quality troops, the Chaco War was a crushing defeat for Bolivia, resulting in the annexation by Paraguay of territories far exceeding that which Paraguay had originally claimed as her own. This resulted in a military junta taking the reins of the nation. With the exception of a short return to civilian rule, this military control would last until 1978, when a period of 10 governments in 5 years began. During this period of military rule, the internationally known Argentine-born Cuban revolutionary Che Guevara met his ends at the hands of the CIA-trained Bolivian Special Forces whilst trying to incite regime change in the nation. He was taken captive, shot, and then had his hands removed for identification and the rest of his body unceremoniously dumped in an unmarked grave, along with 6 of his comrades. In 1982, the country finally stabilized governmentally, and this is, for the most part, where the country stands today. So with the history covered, let's take a look at the demographics of Bolivia. Bolivia has a population of around 11.5 million people. Of these, around 68% are ethnically mestizo, or native and white mixed race, 20% are ethnically non-mixed indigenous, around 5% are white, and the remaining 5% is made up of a mix of other ethnic groups. The nation is very Christian, with around 77% Roman Catholics, 8% Evangelicals and Pentecostals, 8% non-evangelical or Pentecostal Protestants, 5.5% irreligious or agnostics, and the remaining 1.5% being a mix of many different faiths, such as the Baha'is, followers of LDS, commonly referred to as Mormons, and Judaism. Interestingly, the religious practices here have somewhat blended with indigenous faiths, leading to a belief system unlike anywhere else in the world. The nation also uses the Type A and C power outlets, uses the .bo top-level domain, uses the Boliviano as its currency, cars drive on the right side of the road, the national motto is La Unión de la Fuerza, or Unity is Strength, and the national anthem is Himno Nacional de Bolivia. So now, let's take a look at the political boundaries of Bolivia. Bolivia is bordered by 5 different countries: Brazil to the north and east, Paraguay to the southeast, Argentina to the south, Chile to the southwest, and Peru to the northwest. Constitutionally, Sucre is the capital of Bolivia, and indeed it is the judicial center of the nation, but La Paz acts as the de facto second capital city, as that is where the executive and legislative power resides. Neither of these cities is the nation's largest, however, with that title belonging to Santa Cruz de la Sierra. Bolivia is also divided up into 9 different departments, which are, from north to south, Pando, Beni, La Paz, Santa Cruz, Cochabamba, Oruro, Potosi, Chuquisaca, and Tarija. And with the borders themselves covered, let's take a peek at the lands that they divide. Bolivia's 425,000 square miles, or 1.1 million square kilometers of land area, constitute some of the highest inhabited land in the world. This is because Bolivia is home to the widest and most complex sections of the Andes mountain range. In the west, along the Chilean border, lies the Cordillera Occidental, part of the Ring of Fire and home to the Uyuni Salt Flat, as well as Bolivia's highest peak, Mount Sajama, cutting the clouds at a massive 21,500 feet, or 6,500 meters in elevation. To the east of these mighty peaks lies the Altiplano, a huge plateau sandwiched in on its eastern flank by the Cordillera Oriental. The Bolivian section of the Altiplano also hosts part of Lake Titicaca, the second largest lake in South America. Beyond the Cordillera Oriental lies the Yungas, a rugged, forested stretch of land. East of that lies the Orient, a vast expanse of plains, swamps, savannas, and rainforests, fueled by a section of the Amazon River Basin. The Bolivian climate is vastly diverse, hitting everything from polar freeze to desert heat. Most of the nation's plant and animal life can be found in the Oriente and Yungas regions, with pines, cedars, and even the highly illegal coca plant being indigenous to the region. There's even a small patch of deciduous forest in the far south. Fauna-wise, Bolivia is famed for its llamas and alpacas, along with their lesser-known relatives, the guanaco and vicuna. Bolivia is also home to animals such as the Andean condor, the largest bird of flight in the Americas, and guinea pigs, which are often bred for eating in the country. So with the land itself covered, let's finish things off with a look at Bolivian foreign relations. Bolivia doesn't really get along well with most of her neighbors. This is because every neighboring country, with the notable exception of Peru, has taken at least some amount of land from Bolivia. Brazil in particular forcibly took 3 separate parcels of land from the country, effectively creating an entire new state in the process. So it should come as no surprise that Bolivia and Peru get along really well on a multinational level. Chile is probably Bolivia's biggest enemy, as they desire the ocean access they believe to be rightfully theirs, but which Chile adamantly claims they were ceded fair and square. So in conclusion, Bolivia is a country of variation. It's varied topographically, varied linguistically, and varied ethnically, giving it a completely unique identity and its variability. Be sure to stay tuned for a new episode of Ayal's Geography Corner next week, where we'll be taking a trip to the Balkans to take a look at Bosnia and Herzegovina.